Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. This happens to be October the 6th, 2015, and we are delighted to have you with us no matter where you might be. As always, we thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam is flying an airplane right now, Dave. Or I should say he's flying in an airplane right now. And I think about ready to land in the Philadelphia airport. So it'll be glad to have him back down to earth.
Well, Gary will, and we've missed him for the last 2 days, but I'm sure when he gets back into his studio tomorrow and is able to join us, he'll have a lot of interesting information to share with us from his trip down to Florida. Very, 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 very important gathering at which he was privileged to be a part.
And the two of us will take the next 3 days off, right?
Well, Gary, if that's what you want to do, we can.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us, and we're going to change some things on the program. We used to have what we called Phone In Friday, but we are going to put out the telephone numbers every day now. If you want to call in and participate with the program, why, we would encourage you to do that. You might want to take down the phone numbers and keep them handy. We might be talking about something that you have interest in that you would like to contribute to. We would certainly love to hear from you. And so every day from now on, the Lord willing, we will be giving those phone numbers. And so throughout the course of the hour, we may not repeat them that often. So at the very beginning of the hour, I would encourage you to jot them down. And if something tickles your innards, as it were, and you feel as though you need to respond, why, this will give you the opportunity to do so and be able to speak to our radio listeners all across the country. And so the phone number is toll-free 1-877-667-1180. That is 1-877-667-1180. And if you live in the Philadelphia area where our anchor station is, WFYL, the number there, of course, is 610-539-8255, which is basically 610-539-TALK. So please feel free to use those phone numbers to call in if indeed there is something that you want to contribute. Dave, I've got to say, you know, on this particular program, we talk about very serious issues most of the time, but I just had a very interesting experience over the last hour or two. One of the Christian day schools in our area every year invites pastors to their school. That is, the pastors who have children from their churches in that school. And I just had a lunch with a bunch of young kids, kindergarten, second grade, third grade. And I'll tell you what, you know my size. There I was sitting in one of those wee little chairs or the wee little table. I felt like a Chinese person sitting down with my legs crossed at a table in front of me. But boy, did we have a ball. You know, you and I get ourselves into some great opportunities in, you know, state capitals and Washington, D.C., and whatever the case may be, but there's nothing like having lunch with a bunch of kindergarten, first graders, second graders, third graders. It's good for what ails you, Dave.
Well, Gary, it is. And, you know, I was a youth director for a number of years, and I jokingly say from time to time I'm still a teenager trapped in a 56-year-old body. But I tell you what, young people, teenagers, the smaller children that like the ones that you were privileged to have lunch with today, that is really a thrilling, invigorating thing. I mean, it really, really is. What a delight to be around people that still have idealistic spirits. They still have great hope, as we all should, for America. They have great hope for the future. And so from time to time, Gary, that's got to be something that everybody should do. If you get bogged down under the weight of all the pressures of life, go spend some time with the age young people that you did. That'll lift your spirits for sure.
And even those even some of those young people that can be quite the rascals at times, when you show up at their school, they just love you to death. It's kind of neat.
Well, you know what I think it is, Gary? Yeah, it is. It is. You know, they can give you fits other times at church, but when you show up in their environment, in their school, they're so proud that you are their pastor. And so they kind of want to show you off, if you understand what I'm saying. So they tend to love that.
Last year when I went to one of the schools, one of the little fellas introduced me to a couple of his classmates, and he said, "This is my pastor. Now, don't you hurt him." So I felt well protected. Anyway, let's get on to some more serious things. You have something you want to share from the Kleins.
Well, Gary, yes. Aaron and Melissa Klein, the couple from out in Portland, Oregon area that refused to bake a cake for a lesbian couple, they are, so to speak, back in the news. Now, Gary, this is not being widely reported. Part of it is not. Some of it is. The part that is being somewhat widely reported is the fact that they were, of course, sentenced to pay a $135,000 fine. And all of that's been out there for some time. But what is new is the fact that the Kleins are now refusing to pony up that money. They're refusing to pay that $135,000 fine. And they have very strong legal reasons that they are giving for refusing to do that, strong moral reasons that they're giving for refusing to do that. But what is not being widely reported, Gary, is this, and this is it's out there in a few spots, but I picked up an article, Gary, that comments on this, and that is the BOLI, B-O-L-I, Bureau of Labor and Industry in Oregon, is evidently going to go after the Kleins and confiscate property in order to be able to acquire that $135,000. Now, again, what I just said is not being super widely reported. It is out there on a few locations if you go looking for it. But we need to really pray for Aaron and Melissa Klein. And as soon as something can be said officially, we want to have their attorney on, Anna Harmon, who's been on with us before. And then we want to have the Kleins on as well to give their comments about this. But, Gary, all this is an underscoring of the intense persecution now that is beginning to be cultivated against Christians in America, and it's tragic. Oregon is a very liberal state. It's going to work its way from the left coast or the west coast all the way to the east coast. And Gary, the time, unless something changes, the time won't be long until you and I start facing things just like this because we're vocal about our faith.
Well, and I think we need to not only keep, you know, the Kleins before our people or before our listeners, we need to keep Kim Davis before our listeners. You know, because like you said, Dave, sometimes these people come before us in the news, and then for a period of time, or for a long period of time even sometimes, they sort of fall out of the news picture, as it were, and we forget about them. We should not forget about them because they are born-again believers, born-again Christians who want to stand for biblical truth. We need to continue to pray for them on a regular basis. But as you said, Dave, it's important that every one of us also do what we can to prepare ourselves for facing some form of persecution. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said that they who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and it's only going to be a period of time until every one of us, I believe, Dave, whether we are in the pulpit or in the pew, will come under some form of persecution just because of the fact that we are a Christian. In fact, it may very well be that some folks that we're talking to right now have been persecuted for their faith. So we need to pray for each other, and we need to be prepared to be persecuted whenever that persecution comes our way. We're going to take a break, but then we will be right back right after that break in about 4 minutes. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. 1-877-667-1180 is our number. Give us a call if you wish. We'll be back with more right after this, so don't go away.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our 3-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Janus Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
On October 6, 1862, just 3 weeks after the single bloodiest day in the Civil War, where the North and the South lost 10,000 men each, President Lincoln met with Eliza Gurney and three other Quakers. He said, "We are indeed going through a fiery trial. Being a humble instrument in the hands of our Heavenly Father, I have sought His aid. But if my efforts fail, I must believe that for some purpose unknown to me, He wills it. We cannot but believe that He who made the world still governs it."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
"Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?"
"Well, yes, I did. And we were all so proud."
"Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test."
"Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful."
"Call your representatives now and ask them to stop the national takeover of education called Common Core. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. Along with David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We are delighted to have you with us. And, Dave, you know, it just appears as though our Second Amendment of the United States Constitution, a part of the Bill of Rights, continues to be under attack. And it's just interesting to see how this attack is actually growing from different individuals and from different areas of the country and so forth and so on. But it's just also almost sad to see that our president, Barack Obama is going to be, according to the news, this coming Friday, defying the people of Roseburg, Oregon, in showing up out there to make some kind of a statement about gun control. Of course, we realized it was last Friday that, what was it, 9 people were killed, 10 died, along with the individual killer. We're not going to mention his name. There were several other people injured at that particular university, or I should say community college out there. And Barack Obama wants to go out there on Friday and make some kind of a statement, and there's no doubt about it, but that he will attack the Second Amendment. Now, we can expect that from President Barack Obama. But David, you know, the information that we have is that the individual grassroots citizens, the elected officials, the people in the press, they do not want Barack Obama to show up in Roseburg, Oregon. And yet he's going to do that. How antagonistic, how audacious is that for him to do that? He's the president of the United States of America. He's to be supporting those people, standing with those people, working along with those people. What in the world do you think he has in mind in going out there? We know he's probably going to make a statement, but what does that say about him?
Well, Gary, audacious is what our president is. That's the way he operates. You know, he feels because he's president, he has a right to do it just about anything he wants to do. Hence all these executive orders and executive actions that he has been a part of since he became president 7 years ago. And so, Gary, that's who he is. However, it is very much an in-your-face response on the part of the president to go out there when the people of Roseburg have basically said, multiple people have said, we do not want you coming here. We don't want this thing further politicized. This was a tragedy. Let our community heal. Let us deal with it ourselves. We don't need your intervention. And you coming out here to participate in some event where you're going to make it a statement about guns. Gary, the thing about Oregon is this. You've got to understand, Oregon is a very conservative state, with the exception of a couple of major places. And those major places happen to be the large cities, primarily Portland, Oregon, which tends to be very liberal, and Eugene, Oregon, which tends to be very liberal as well. Other than that, the majority of Oregon is a very conservative state. Roseburg, about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes south of Eugene, a city I've been in many, many times, is a very conservative city. So when these people speak, they're speaking from their heart and soul and saying, Mr. President, we don't want you here. But he's going to go out there and he's going to reiterate what he did in his press conference right after the tragedy. And he's going to call for more gun control laws. He's going to call for stricter regulation of gun usage and gun ownership. All of this, Gary, with this false narrative that somehow, some way is going to reduce gun violence, Gary, it will not.
Well, it will not, because, you know, they're missing the point altogether. And as we've talked about many times on this particular program, a gun in and of itself has never killed anyone. You have to have somebody pulling the trigger. And, you know, even before we went on the air, we were talking about the situation with Cain and Abel. You know, should we actually do away with rocks simply because of the fact that the first murder in the human race was conducted by a rock? A rock was used. I mean, the argument is downright silly. I think it's an immature argument. And yet, not only do we have Barack Obama going out there, but you know, Hillary Clinton, who I hope will not be our next president, came out yesterday and indicated that, you know, if she becomes the president of the United States, Dave, through an executive order, she is going to basically wipe off the Second Amendment. Now, think about that. You know, right away she should be disqualified because she must swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, but she's already said that with executive order, she's going to overlook that amendment for stricter gun laws. My goodness.
Well, Gary, you know, unilateral implementation of an executive order that she would attempt to override one of the amendments of the United States Constitution. Yes, Gary, she ought to be automatically disqualified from that mere statement. But,
exactly.
Gary, here's the problem. Here's the problem. There are statistics thrown around that are used, and the American public, which I hate to say this is not true of our listening audience for sure, but it's typical, I think, of far too many across the board in America. They don't think, they don't reason, they don't logically put all the pieces together. They hear statistics. For example, you know, if we implement these gun laws, it's going to reduce gun death. Well, Gary, let me say that might be true. But if we reduce the number of automobiles in a particular jurisdiction or in a particular state, we're going to reduce the number of deaths that occur in a vehicular event. So less of something's going to mean a reduction in the possibility of negative things happening from the presence of that thing. But I hear no one talking about, well, let's get rid of all the automobiles because we can stop, you know, vehicular death if we get rid of automobiles. No. Well, if you reduce the number of guns present, yes, you can reduce the number of hunting accidents. You can reduce the number of accidents committed while cleaning a weapon. You can reduce the number of suicides committed with a gun and all of that. But just because people make mistakes and accidents occur with a particular thing doesn't mean we need to do away with it. What needs to be discussed is how much gun violence can be reduced if you implement gun laws. And the facts of the matter are this, Gary: there is no substantive proof whatsoever that gun violence is reduced by having stricter gun laws. Look at Chicago. That is a classic example. Those are the most strict gun laws perhaps in the nation. And gun violence, not gun death, gun violence is out of control. So this is a logical overreach on the part of these people who use these statistics in a way that is not equitable, it's not right, and it's not even logical, to be honest with you.
Well, let me try to reduce this to simplicity, if I may. A number of years ago, we had a pastor in the area in which I live, the Altoona, Pennsylvania area, who on Thanksgiving Day, I believe it was eating turkey, and he swallowed a turkey bone, and he choked. Eventually, he died. So should we outlaw turkeys and turkey bones?
Well, Gary, see, now that's a great question. People say, oh, you're being silly. No, you're not. The statement you made earlier about a rock being the implement that was used in the first murder, are we going to outlaw every potential means of someone being injured or dying? Is that what government now feels is its responsibility, to outlaw every possibility of injury or death? Gary, if that's the way we're going to live, then let's just put all of America in a padded cell somewhere and protect us from ourselves. That is not what our founders envisioned. That is certainly not what the God of the Bible would ever envision. We make choices. There's consequences to those choices. Hopefully we'll make wise choices and we'll be careful. But you can't protect all of society from making dumb decisions or accidental decisions that result in injury or death. That is not the purpose of government at all.
You know, along with Hillary Clinton saying that she would try to override or work to override, and that's what she's doing, to override the Second Amendment with an executive order. She also stated yesterday that we need to get the Second Amendment out of the hands of irresponsible people and put it into the hands of a responsible organization. Now, those weren't the exact words that she said, but that's what she was that's what she was portraying. And I believe that what she was saying is that we need to do away with the NRA, the National Rifle Association, because, you know, the National Rifle Association stands strongly upon that Second Amendment. And I think what she was saying is that, in essence, the National Rifle Association does not have the right to exist. We need to have somebody to come along and organize another organization that really takes a different look at the Second Amendment. I think that again was a shot fired against the National Rifle Association.
Well, Gary, it was a shot across the bow. There's no question. Yeah. Listen, when you hear statements like this, we have to define terms. Who's going to decide what individual is irresponsible and what organization is irresponsible? What is going to be the definition of irresponsible, and who's going to determine that? And then number two, you mean you're going to do away with a great organization like the NRA, and you're going to put the responsibility for all of this into the hands of some governmental organization or governmental entity, and they're going to do a good job with that? Give me a break, Gary. All we have to do is look at the United States Postal Service, forgive me for saying that, and see what government does not do well, and there's myriads of other examples of that as well. So that is an absolutely ludicrous statement made by Hillary Clinton.
Almost anything the government gets involved with, it makes a mess of. And you know, maybe we ought to get my father to come in. You know, he's a retired postmaster. He could probably tell us a lot about the postal system too, Dave.
he could fill our ear, I'm sure.
He quit early over it. So, you know, that goes back a few years. So, yeah, we need to watch when the government gets involved. Well, when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give my take on how to stop gun abuse. And it's not the gun. It has to do with other factors. We're going to look at that as well as some other information that we have that we want to share with you today. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Stay tuned. We will be back in about 3 minutes.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu, assessing the damage from devastating floods in South Carolina.
Everything I got is gone.
Rains have let up, but as South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley is reminding people, water is still a danger.
We are still in prayer mode. We are still in the fact that the next 36 to 48 hours is going to be volatile. So what we'll tell you is don't let the sunshine fool you, but we are prepared.
She says that while floodwaters in the Midlands are subsiding, they're heading downstream. And a woman in Michigan finding out she was $310 million richer while sitting at a McDonald's drive-thru during a work break.
Oh, I quit automatically.
Michigan Powerball winner Julie Leach did return to work, but just so she and her coworkers could verify that she actually won, minutes later, she quit. She's 50 years old, has 3 kids and 11 grandchildren. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180
shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN. Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Let's check with Mom. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak. Just make sure you have everything.
Yep. Can we walk home?
How about a taxi? 233 North Maple, please.
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Also, find fun activities to do like boating and biking or camping and hiking, plus much more. It's all right in your naturehood.
Best day ever.
A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Along with Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr will be back with us again tomorrow, the Lord willing. If you want to participate in the program, you may do so by calling 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-8255. We've been talking about gun control and what's taking place out in Roseburg, Oregon, and other places, and it's true that a lot of people have been killed by guns in the last years. A lot of people have been killed by guns ever since guns were invented. People have been killed by rocks. People have been killed by automobile. People have been killed by turkey bones. People have been killed by knives. I mean, we could just go on and on and on and on. And yet we don't hear people say we need to outlaw those things. It's just that we have an attack against the Second Amendment. And Dave, I want to share with our audience here some six things on what to take into consideration as it relates to stopping gun abuse. And then after I go down through those, if you don't mind, I'd like for you to share with our audience what you believe is behind this idea of doing away with the Second Amendment. But folks, you know, you hear people, including those of us here on APN, Stand in the Gap program, talking about this idea of gun abuse and so forth and so on. And again, we reiterate to you that it's not the gun that kills people. It's the person who pulls the trigger. And so here's some six points you might want to take into consideration. And maybe pastors, you can preach this, or folks, you can put this into a Bible study or whatever, but at least take it into consideration. Number one, this idea of people being killed by guns is a spiritual matter. And the fact is that all mankind is born with sin. All have sinned and come short to the glory of God. It's sin that leads an individual to take a gun and pull the trigger and shoot somebody and kill them. Not only is it a spiritual matter, but it's a mental matter in the fact that those who do such things, whether they're shooting a gun or throwing a rock or using a bow and arrow, whatever the case may be, when somebody kills another person, they're mentally off balance a little bit. They're not thinking right. And of course, that's because of the fact that they're not applying Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 to their thought process, which, of course, is a passage of Scripture that tells us how we should be thinking on a consistent basis. Thirdly, it's a personal matter in the fact that those who would kill somebody else, no matter what the implement may be, gun or whatever, they kill people because of disrespect for life, which really is a disrespect for God. It is God who gives life. It is God's responsibility to take life, not mankind. And so when a person up and kills somebody else, they're disrespecting that person's life. They're also disrespecting God himself. Number four, when somebody kills a person, whether it's with the gun or whatever the implement may be, it is a satanic matter, a satanic matter. I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ, in expressing Satan's mission, says the thief comes not but for to kill and steal and destroy. And, of course, that's John chapter 10 and verse 10. So we know that the devil's out there behind that kind of a thing because the devil wants to kill people. Number six, it's a selfish matter. People, when they kill another person or other people, are acting out of self-will. They're putting themselves before others. They are not considering the other people. And they're saying, I'm the one. I want to do this. I've got some pride, whatever the case may be. And they up and kill a person. And that leads us to the final point that I want to share. And that is the fact that it's an evangelistic matter. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior have a responsibility to evangelize the lost. People need the Lord. Christians need to share Jesus Christ. With every one person who has killed another person, no matter what the implement was, had they known Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, the fact that they would be killing would be extremely rare. I'm not talking about accidental killings and things along that line. I'm talking about downright cold-blooded murder, homicide. And so, you know, the challenge for the church, the challenge for the Christian when we talk about the Second Amendment is to prevent people from killing each other. Let's share the gospel with every one person saved. That's one less person who would have the potential of killing somebody in cold-blooded murder. I just share those things with you. It's a spiritual matter, a mental matter, a personal matter, a satanic matter, a selfish matter, and an evangelistic matter. Let's get out the word of God. But having said that, David, What really, in your thought process, is behind this idea that the liberals and the politicians want to do away with that Second Amendment?
Well, Gary, again, this is a biblical matter and it's a heart matter. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes, which says Solomon, writing inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, said there's nothing new under the sun. So to springboard off of that, Gary, let me say this. Human nature is what it has always been. It will be what it always is now, and that is perverted and corrupt at its core. We need God's intervention for salvation, but our human nature is corrupt. So, Gary, all we have to do is look back to Germany in the 1920s under the Weimar Republic when they began registering weapons, and then that registry of weapons was later used by Hitler when he passed a Gun Control Act in 1938. And many of the enemies of the state of Germany had already been removed at that time, but he took the registry of those that had voluntarily registered their weapons, primarily the Jews, and he used that registry to go in and then begin confiscating guns so that when he cracked down in a big way against the Jewish people, there was virtually no resistance to come, not only from the Jews, but anybody else. So those that would say, well, you know, that's an extreme example. You know, that would never happen in the United States of America. What people need to remember, Gary, is human nature is incredibly consistent. And those that get into positions of power and authority who want to advance their rabid, oftentimes incredibly radical agenda can only do that if they have a disarmed populace or a disarmed public. So, Gary, the motivation behind these people who think they know way more than we as individual citizens know as far as what's good for us, they want to disarm the American people, I'm convinced, and make us sitting ducks for whatever their rabid agenda at some point in the future or even currently might be. So, Gary, our founders had enough wisdom to put in a Second Amendment, not for hunting purposes, not so much really to protect ourselves against a foreign invader, but the Second Amendment was put in literally to protect the American citizenry from a tyrannical government.
Well, that's right, from a tyrannical government. And so obviously that's why those who would want to support tyranny, and that's many people in our country today, many people in our government today, would want to do away that Second Amendment. I remind you what the Second Amendment says, ladies and gentlemen. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Dave, you know, in the first segment, we were talking about how Hillary Clinton said that, you know, through, you know, her pen and her phone, if she becomes president, through executive orders and so forth and so on, she is basically going to override this Second Amendment. What do you think that would look like? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but you are a deep, intelligent thinker who has the answers to all the problems of mankind.
Gary, repeat that question again. There was a little bit of a breakup there. I apologize. But if you repeat it, I'll try to answer it.
That's a good excuse. That's a way to get away from the question, isn't it?
Give me time to think. No, seriously, repeat the question if you would.
No, you know, Hillary Clinton said that basically, you know, with an executive order, she would probably really work to overrule the Second Amendment in some way, shape, or form. What would that look like? How do you think she'd do that?
Well, Gary, you know, that's an interesting question. There's any number of ways she could go about trying to accomplish that task. But, Gary, none of them would be a constitutional approach.
Right.
And for her to start bringing up the same lingo that the president has used about his pen and his phone, and she's going to begin or just a continuation of what he has done in implementing unprecedented executive actions and executive orders, Gary, ought to scare the American people to death. Mm-hmm. We need a dramatic turn away from what we've had for the last 7 years. We don't need a continuation of the very same thing.
You know, that makes me think of another situation. Some of the polls that are coming out right now saying that if Joe Biden gets into the campaign, that it looks like he could possibly, at this particular point, according to certain polls, he could come out on top of any of the Republican candidates. What does that say about the American public?
Well, Gary, it doesn't bode well, does it?
No. I don't know what kind of a word we'd like to put in there. It's a shame. You know, of course, if we've gotten so far away from truth, where there are no absolutes in the United States of America, then we need to recognize that almost anything goes. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about ISIS, and that, you know, here in the United States of America, we're talking about Planned Parenthood and birth control. ISIS wants to have more children created. Yeah. Where is that, and how's that going to work? Well, when we come back, we'll talk about that. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. Don't go away. We will be back in 4 minutes talking all about ISIS.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
There's an average of 11 student-to-student assaults per day in Philadelphia School District. That's 19,752 over the last 5 years. There's an average of 5 student-to-teacher assaults per day. That's over 4,000 over 5 years. That's a total of 23,752 assaults over 5 years in the Philadelphia School District.
Should you be considering a different public school option? Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Your child deserves to be safe. Visit www.palx.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785 to apply today. That's PALCS.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785.
In 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul gave critical counsel, important for Timothy and applicable to us. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul said, "As a believer, you've been saved and called. You've been given great responsibility as a preacher, teacher, and soldier." He said, "The calling is divine. The opposition is demonic. In fact, perilous and frightful times will come. Expect it. But be strong, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power." He said, "God has not made us to be fearful or afraid during unsettling times. To the contrary, He's given us the spirit of power, the power to successfully encounter foes and dangers, the power to bear up under trials, the power to triumph in persecution. Therefore," he said, "don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ and the gospel." I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network reminding you, in the face of danger, go forward in the strength of God's power.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. We want to encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. And by going there, you can learn about this program. You can learn about the hosts of this program. But you can also correspond with us. And we would encourage you to do that, as well as keep in mind that if you are away from your radio signal and you have a computer with you, why, you can listen to us there at standinthegapradio.com, as there's a link there for our anchor station, which is WFYL in King of Prussia, which is in the Philadelphia area. Dave, ISIS, of course, has come up with a number of different thoughts and an interesting philosophy, and they're doing some different things in the world today. But you know, here in the United States of America, when we are fighting Planned Parenthood and how they're tearing away babies before they're born, tearing their bodies apart, and abortion is something that, you know, shows us that we are killing our people, it has come out that ISIS is thinking of something else. ISIS wants to create new young people, new babies, new birth. They're trying to grow themselves, as we here in the United States of America are killing ourselves. Why don't you share with our listeners what we found out about ISIS?
Well, Gary, you know, this goes back to something that I began speaking about 7 years ago. And you will remember, I think at your church, I preached one of the first times I ever brought this message on the Antichrist, His Rise, Resistance, and Religion, and talked about this very topic that is the goal and the ideology and the thrust of Islam. Now it's just coming to light in an article that appeared on the Fox News website today that ISIS is stressing this in a big way. Let me read just the opening statement from this article that appeared on the Fox News website this morning. ISIS is eyeing a different kind of explosion to expand its caliphate in the Middle East and into the future. A population boom that the black-clad jihadist army's leaders believe will ensure the next generation of blood-soaked believers. And Gary, what they're talking about is this. A population boom, the one that they're referring to, is this push by ISIS for pregnancies within the areas of Iraq and Syria. In other words, they're wanting the wives, the women of these ISIS fighters to give birth to as many possible children as they possibly can, because they believe the more people they can create in their image, and that's their terminology, not mine, the more people they can create in their image, the better. And of course, they believe that those born into the violent ideology that is ISIS are going to be those that are going to be most committed to this course of life. So ISIS is now tweeting pictures of babies sleeping in cribs alongside guns, grenades, and then also that very ominous-looking ISIS logo that we talked a little bit about yesterday. So, Gary, this is a jihad by population growth. Now, let me give some statistics that I've mentioned around the country for the last 7 years, and that is this. The birth rate among American families right now, when you factor in the Hispanic community, it is about 2.1 children per U.S. family. That is 2.1 children per U.S. household. That is the birth rate in America. Globally, the Muslim birth rate, Gary, is in excess of 8 children per Muslim family. This is out there on numerous websites where imams in other countries are making the statement. They've made them in Britain. They've made the statement in other countries that we will take over through sheer birth rate. Mm-hmm. Gary, you add to that that the fact that we in America now have committed almost 60 million murders of our own unborn. 60 million abortions have been committed, approaching that number in the United States of America, Gary. If this country ever is taken over by Islamic entities, ISIS, or any other Islamic entity, Gary, we will have contributed in a significant way, in a huge way, to our own demise because of the way we have taken children through discouraging of having children and then through this horrific act of abortion. We've taken children out of the picture, mm-hmm. and America's future is now incredibly limited as a result.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And you know, with ISIS wanting to have this push for pregnancies, doesn't mean that they are so pro-life. It means that they want to take over the world.
They're pro-life temporarily so that they can be pro-death ultimately.
That's exactly right. And so, you know, you can see, ladies and gentlemen, where this is going to go. And we're talking here about this junior varsity organization that doesn't mean anything and that doesn't affect us. That was a year ago, Dave, that Barack Obama said that. And look how it's affecting us today.
Well, Gary, again, you have to ask the question. And again, I know people may think, well, you know, you guys talk about this way too much. But, Gary, you have to ask the question, mm-hmm. honestly, why is the president doing what he's doing? Why did he call ISIS a JV team? Mm-hmm. Who in their right mind that knows anything about the nature of Islam, specifically this ISIS entity, who in their right mind would call them a junior varsity team? They're anything but. So the question that has to be answered is, why is our president doing this? Where are his loyalties? What are his motivations? And Gary, the conclusion to which I've come, I believe the conclusion to which you've very unequivocally come, is that there are very sinister motivations behind what our president has done, mm-hmm. is doing, and will continue to do.
You know, yesterday, Dave, we talked about that patch that is being put on the uniform of the various Army officers who have fought over there against ISIS, a patch that looks a whole lot like something that's Islamic. You know the name Lloyd Peck, don't you, Dave?
I know Lloyd well. I respect that man as much as any man that walks in shoes.
Lloyd happens to be a member of the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, where I pastor. And to our national audience, you need to get to know Lloyd Peck. He called me last night after the radio program and said, "What is this about this patch?" And, of course, you know, I told him all about it. He had heard it on the radio program. The interesting thing is, today he is stopping by our offices to get as much information that he can on this patch, and he is taking it to the Armed Forces Committee in this particular county with the intent of taking it right up to the White House, or to the Pentagon, and ultimately to the White House. He is on a holy terror rate here to do away with that patch.
Well, Gary, I want to say this. Those that know Lloyd Peck from the Altoona area know he is the man to do this. The way he can take a concept or an idea and then bring it to full implementation, Gary, is absolutely amazing. In fact, what I'd love to see is whoever the nominee is for president, I'd love to see them put Lloyd Peck as their VP. We'd get something done in America.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of people in this central Pennsylvania area who continue to ask Lloyd to run, whether it's for the mayor or the House of Representatives or whatever the case may be. You know, to the conservative, he's somebody that gets things done.
Well, Gary, he is, and I just want to say this. We love you, Lloyd. Thank you for mm-hmm. what you're doing relative to this. We're behind you 100%.
Lloyd, you are now a national figure. Look out. Look out, world. Here comes Lloyd, huh, Dave?
Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back in about another 23 hours. I trust that you'll be back with us as well. And so until then, from the Stand in the Gap studios, this is Stand in the Gap. Keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.